Blog Talk Radio.
Well, hello, and welcome to Indie Streak. My name is Rachel Galvin, and as you know, I interview film industry professionals on this show. If you've missed any of my shows, you can go back and listen to the archives at any time. Well, today I'm interviewing the award-winning director Jennifer Clary, director of The Silent Thief, which was just recently shown at the Palm Beach International Film Festival. And I think I have her on the line. Let's check. Jennifer, are you there?
Hi, Rachel.
Yes, hi.
Hi. Yeah, this is me. Sorry.
Okay, well, we are live right now. Tell us about your feature, The Silent Thief.
Well, The Silent Thief is a psychological thriller about an unsuccessful identity thief named Brennan Marley. And basically, he goes from town to town trying to find a sense of belonging and a family, and he always falls just slightly short. It's a tragic tale, but he's a little bit heroic because he just keeps on trying.
But he causes a lot of strife along the way for everybody.
You know,
that
he does, but, you know, it's not your typical, you know, it's not like a single white female thing. I hate to just blame the one character for all the trouble, because really the family in this particular thriller is a bit pernicious as well. So everyone's just a little bit evil.
So it's almost like he acts like a catalyst to bring up a lot of other issues.
I would say so, yeah. I think that's a perfect way to describe him.
Okay. And what inspired you to make this?
Well, you know, I got married when I was 22, and I had a small beach wedding to my producing partner now, Kevin Haber. And we received a lot of, you know, the standard wedding gifts, you know, Crate and Barrel gift cards, Bed Bath & Beyond. But we had one really interesting little trinket that was given to us by my now sister-in-law, Holly. It's a little box, and basically it has this really interesting quote about how, you know, a beach wedding is very special because you make all these memories on the beach, and then all the physical evidence of that wedding ceremony is immediately removed by the water. It comes up and it washes away the footprints, et cetera. So, you know, we started thinking, my goodness, wouldn't it be neat if we made some kind of a story about, you know, a character whose life events are consistently washed away. And so we came up with this perfect criminal who, you know, sort of does all these horrid little things, and all of his evidence is immediately discarded whenever he fails. So that was the idea behind Silent Thief.
Okay, and this is not your first film. You made two critically acclaimed short films, and then you got funds from Panavision to make this. How did that work?
Well, you know, it was a lot of it's just very lucky, I'd like to think. But, yeah, the first two short films I made were a little bit different in style. Dirty Girl was my first short film, and it's about a woman who is undergoing surgery to have a cancerous tumor removed. And it shows the dichotomy between the real and the imagined, because the tumors are actually claymation, and the real-life surgery is portrayed in 35mm live action. And it's a very stark contrast. So that film, you know, was very unusual, very unique, certainly not your traditional narrative. And it did really well in the festival circuit and really exposed us to, you know, a lot of different styles of filmmaking, which was exciting. And then The Christmas Conspiracy, basically, I mean, in all honesty, what happened was, you know, we didn't have very much money for it. So we took the tumors that were made out of clay from Dirty Girl, and we took them apart. And then we made new characters and made something completely different. It's a stop-motion, you know, little animated short about, you know, this town that sort of works together to save Christmas. And it's very family-oriented, and, it opened a couple of nice family-friendly film festivals, and it had Dick Van Patten and Christian Kane, and it's really cute and has a nice stop-motion animated fire, which I'm really proud of. So, it's just, they're totally different than The Silent Thief. And then The Silent Thief... Yeah, it was my first feature, and obviously it's fully live action. And the Panavision grant came about because, you know, there's a lot of things happening with the color in The Silent Thief that my cinematographer Andrew Wheeler and I really wanted to be true to. The idea was that all the characters actually have their own color that sort of gets seeped out by Brennan as they start losing their humanity and their struggle for self-preservation as a familial unit. So the colors were important, and we were going to shoot on the red, but the problem with the red is that it's not always true to color. So we thought we were going to lose a lot of that vision. So, you know, Andy had just finished his first short film, which has been tremendous. It's actually going to be at the Cannes Film Festival coming up. It's called Thief.
Okay.
But he, you know, he knew somebody over at Panavision and asked if we could just go in and sort of pitch the project, because the deadline for the Panavision grant was, you know, on the cusp. We thought we were going to miss it. So we just went down there, and we did like a 45-minute presentation, and I guess
wow.
they liked it, and they gave us all of our camera equipment for free. So we're very, very, very much appreciative of Panavision's trust.
That's great.
Yeah.
What inspired you to get into filmmaking in the first place?
You know, I don't know. I had a very strong background in theater. And I knew that I loved mm-hmm. telling stories, and I directed some theater, and I'd acted for years. And I never really thought about doing anything other than theater, to be honest with you, until I got to college. And I went to school at Vassar, which is very
mm-hmm.
near New York City. And, you know, the funny thing about college for me was it sort of, you know, most people go to college, and I feel like they get this 4 years in a bubble where they don't have to really think about what they're going to do when they graduate until, like, maybe, like, the end of senior year. You know what I mean?
Right.
For me, it's like I went away from home for the first time, and I immediately started having anxiety about how I was going to support myself because, you know, theater, you don't have, like, a great future for, like, things like food and electricity.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you have to really start planning
yeah.
in advance. So I went to Vassar with the idea to be on the stage, and, you know, I started thinking maybe I could have some kind of artistic-related business on the side to sort of supplement my income so that I could take roles that I really cared about and sort of work with a little bit more flexibility. And I saved up and I bought a camera. And,
mm-hmm.
You know, while I was still in school, I thought, you know, I'll start like a wedding video-type business. And
mm-hmm.
so we started doing that. And, I mean, Kevin, you know, moved up to New York with me, and we were just working. Like, every weekend we'd go and we'd shoot, like, a wedding or, like, a portrait still. We started gathering gear, basically, you know, video, photography gear, lenses, lighting, all kinds of stuff. And we decided we actually really disliked doing most of that stuff. I mean, we really didn't like doing weddings. You know, there's a tremendous amount of stress involved in that kind of thing, actually, for anyone who was curious. It's one of the most stressful things because you get one shot, and it's like if you mess up anything, you feel horrible for the rest of your life. So, weddings were not a good long-term goal for us, but we learned how to use a lot of different kinds of cameras. And so once we took enough money, you know, we started turning our focus to our creative work, and that's how GenKev really became more of a film studio.
Okay. And you have an amazing cast in this movie. How did you get your actors for The Silent Thief?
Yeah, you know, I do have an amazing cast. They're all really wonderful, and I really appreciate them all so much. The reason I have such a wonderful cast, though, is because I have a wonderful casting director. My dear friend, Emily Schweber, worked with me. I don't know if she knew exactly what she was getting into when we started collaborating, but basically I had the weirdest casting process going because I was really anal about it. You know, on a low budget, the things that are most important really are the performances and having
mm-hmm.
good audio, or at least clear audio, you know, and having something that you can see that looks nice, you know. And I knew I was going to get
right.
good lighting and a clear image because I have a great cinematographer. And I knew I was going to have solid audio because I'd worked with audio. But I was worried about the casting because I'd had no previous experience with, like, you know, casting a full live-action feature.
Mm-hmm.
So Emily was great. You know, usually a film will cast maybe, like, 8 weeks out. She spent literally, I'm not exaggerating, a full year casting this project with me.
Wow.
I was so anal. I met with so many young actors for the role of Brennan. And, you know, basically, I enjoy the auditioning process. I think it's fine. I don't think it's necessarily true to what you're going to get because I think that people come into auditions, they're nervous, especially younger
exactly.
actors. So I really try to meet with my actors before I make an offer. So that's what I did. All the younger actors, I kind of just met them. We built a rapport, and then we, you know, continued to work together very closely right through the shooting dates. And then for my more established actors, you know, Kurt Fuller, Francis
mm-hmm.
Fisher, and John Billingsley, you know, I reviewed their work, and Emily recommended them, and then I had the opportunity to sort of speak with them, and I just loved them. I mean, I just loved them. I mean, Kurt is the most down-to-earth, wonderful man. He's like the perfect father figure, you know, because he has
uh-huh.
all of his eggs in a basket, you know. He knows exactly what he wants. He has a strong idea of the character. He, you know, comes to set ready to go and in a good mood every day. You know, it's a special quality. And Frances is just an amazing, captivating woman. I mean, she, you know, basically, we were calling to sort of meet each other on the phone before, you know, we cast her. And she interviewed me because I swear she knew every inch of the script. I was so impressed. I mean, she knew every detail, every direction. you know, and I actually ended up doing some rewrites when we brought her on because she had so many good ideas that I wanted to incorporate. So she's just really a tremendous artist. And then John is hilarious and such a sport. I mean, he came in to the set, you know, on the worst possible shooting days on the Venice Pier. You know, just a complete wreck was all of his role.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, he's just such a trooper. You know, he just did a great job. So I'm really very much in debt to everyone on my cast.
How did you get the best performances out of your actors, especially when you're working with more established people like that?
Well, you know, it's easier than you might think for the more established ones. I mean, they have a really solid idea of how things work on set. You know, they come ready every day. And then the younger actors that I had were really, you know, they're veterans too. I mean, Scout Taylor Compton's been working since she was a little kid, you know, so she's not, you know, she knows what she's doing. She's not your typical 22-year-old, you know. And then Cody, same thing. And then Toby is just, you know, first of all, he's your friend now. I think he's just a really tremendous artist. He's up and coming, and he's got good ideas, and he's really dedicated, and he's really committed to his roles. And, you know, we worked together from, like, February through August to get the role where we wanted it to. We talked every day. We worked every week. There was never a moment, from the moment I cast Toby, I knew that I was going to get exactly what I wanted out of him because he was just so in tune with my vision. He brought wonderful ideas to all of our rehearsal sessions, and he's just a consummate professional. I really enjoyed working with him. And then Josh Pence, too. I mean, they're not your typical 20-year-olds. You know, these are hardworking, professional people.
How long did it take you to make the movie?
Well, we actually had 18 shooting days, so in that regard, it was a flash. But you know, the pre-production leading up to the actual shooting was, you know, exceptionally long, I would say. I mean, the writing process took me, you know, a good couple of years, and then, you know, between the financing aspects and just the rehearsals and the prepping and the changing and the tweaking and getting all your props and your gears and your locations, I mean, it was a good 4 years of work, I would say. So, you know, it was no small feat for sure.
What do you think was your biggest challenge?
The biggest challenge? I mean, that varies from day to day. You know, on the actual film set, you know, we had problems with the locations. We shot in Malibu.
Okay.
And, you know, a lot of the homeowners didn't love having a film production on their block.
Right.
So, you know, there's that. So there's just, you know, there's like people issues that are involved with filmmaking. And then there's, you know, on a low budget, there's, you know, safety issues. I mean, we shot in the water. So, I mean, that's very, you know, laborious to try to get all the clearances there and to be safe, honestly. I mean, it is scary to shoot in the ocean at night for anyone who's wondering. You know, the challenges are just, they're massive. I mean, you have a small amount of money and a small amount of time to do a very big project, so it's not easy. You have to come into it being really, really well prepared.
Is there anything you would have done differently?
Oh yeah, of course.
You had to do it again.
I mean, there's a million things. Yeah, I think on any film project, you look back and you think, oh, that shot could have been this or it could have been that. But you know, I don't focus on it too much. I mean, the things that I would go back and do differently are things that I probably really didn't have the ability to do differently, because I was so limited financially and time-wise. You know what I mean? Like, there's certain shots that I wish I'd had a few more takes on, or, you know, I really wish I'd moved that wire out of that shot, you know, in the background that only I'm ever going to notice. You know, I mean, that's just part of being a director, I feel. And I'd love to say that I think that, you know, maybe I'll have this one perfect project one day, but in truth, I think that, you know, part of the joy of filmmaking, I think, is also, you know, learning from every project and trying to improve. And I think that, you know, I'll certainly learn a lot from the silent theater. There's a lot that I would have done differently had I had, you know, a different set of circumstances.
And you said the writing process took a long time. How do you work as a writer? Do you kind of come up with the idea and then do an outline, or how do you create a script?
I wish I had a really good answer to this. You know, I've always written. I mean, I have a very strong writing background. But I think that The Silent Thief was different. It was the first project that I'd really collaborated to that extent with other people, you know, on creating a script. I mean, I had Kevin, and it was the first script we really had written together, you know, as husband and wife, first of all, but also just as two, you know, artistic, creatively minded people. So, I mean, it was interesting because I think that I actually write in very broad strokes. You know, I try to get from point A to point B, and he's very detail-oriented. So So mm-hmm. I think that we worked well together in actually, like, putting the pieces into place for the puzzle. And then we had this other writer who came on board named Chris Sapp, and he mm-hmm. had a real flair for sort of, I guess, punching up our dialogue, making it sound very real. So I think we had a really good, you know, trio going. Mm-hmm. But I think the writing process is different for every project because, you know, right now what we're working on, you know, The Potters, which we have the script done finally for, but it's a completely different type of film, you know, and we really gravitated towards a completely different type of writing partner. I mean, Tony Jarrus, you know, has a very strong animation background, you know, for writing for animation, mm-hmm. writing for family-friendly material. So clearly he's a lot different to work with than Chris, who you know, worked on this very dark material in The Silent Deep. So I think that, you know, every project is different from the get-go right through the end. It's just dependent upon the story.
Mm-hmm. And what is this new project called again?
It's called The Potters. Okay. It is not the Harry Potter type thing at all. It's quite different, actually. It's about it's an animated musical. It's stop motion animation, and it's about a girl who's in her early teens, and she wants to discover her birth parents. She wants to go back and find out where she came from, and mm-hmm. so she goes on this very bizarre adventure. And the long and short of it is that she discovers that she was actually grown in a pot on a farm and does not actually have biological parents. And so it sort of explores, you know, this very corrupt adoption agency where they actually grow children as plants and then sell them at a discounted price to desperate parents. So it's a family-friendly
Great.
Story. Obviously, it's dark and layered, but it's kind of quirky and neat. I'm excited about it.
It sounds really different. I love it.
It's really unique.
I like it.
Thanks.
Okay, I wanted to ask you also about the festival process because you've been all over with The Silent Thief, and you, after the Palm Beach International Film Festival, you went to Rome. What do you see as the difference between like an American festival and an international festival?
You know what? They're different. They're really different, actually, to me. And I was talking to somebody about this the other day because I found this out when I was doing Dirty Girl, too. You know, that went to, like, over 30 festivals because I had a real opportunity
wow.
to explore different types of, you know, different cultures, different festivals and how they appreciate and watch film. You know, Rome is really different. You know, in Palm Beach, The Silent Thief screened, and it was extremely well-received by everyone. Like, there was no question, you know, of the morality. Everyone kind of understood that, you know, everyone was just a bit evil, and it was sort of an exploration of, you know, human beings' capacity to do bad things when they're trying to preserve something that's important to them.
Mm-hmm.
In Rome, you know, culturally, it's quite different over there. You know, they were sort of just horrified. Like, it was sort of split. Like, the younger crowd in Rome really gravitated towards the film, and everyone was really gung-ho. And then some of the older people that were very concerned that, you know, we were sort of portraying these parents as people who had the capacity to do evil at all. You know what I mean? So it was sort of a cultural difference. And the real trick in Rome is that, you know, I didn't actually realize, I mean, maybe this was very ignorant and very American of me, but I didn't realize that, you know, a lot of them don't speak English. So, you know, I have a translator mm-hmm. and I'm up there and I'm trying to sort of explain these very complex moral issues and thoughts
mm-hmm.
via a translator, and so I can't say with, you know, a lot of confidence that I necessarily did, you know, an expert job of explaining my motivations for directing the piece in the way that I did, but you know, I'm very hopeful that the audience took something away from it, at least that part of
wow.
the audience. But it was a really great experience, and then we also screened in Dallas. After that, we did the USA Film Festival, and that was a phenomenal audience, much like Palm Beach. I mean, the American audiences tend to be very, very receptive to it. And, you know, the Europeans, I think, so far are very intrigued by it. I mean, we've had a lot of really great responses from, you know, festival juries and programmers
mm-hmm.
over there. I mean, I'm going to Romania next month with the film, so I'm very
great.
Interested to see how it plays there, too.
Wow.
So I think it'll be interesting. You know, you just never know.
Mm-hmm. And so how can people see it? We don't know yet. It's going to go through distribution right now, right?
Yeah, actually, you know what? The trajectory for Silent Thief has been so fast. I mean, usually a film, I think, will screen in the festival circuit for quite a while, you know, if it's our size budget and our, you know, style film. It'll screen for a while before you secure distribution. But
mm-hmm.
it's been really weird. I've been taking a lot of meetings, so I think distribution will actually be simultaneous sort of to our festival run, ultimately. I mean, the film has only been playing festivals since April, you know, so we're just starting, and I think that we'll likely have distribution in place by before the end of the year, so I think that it'll be readily accessible on Netflix and DVD and all that good stuff.
What do they usually require from you, the distributors, when you go into these meetings?
I think it depends on the deal that you cut. I mean, I think that the material that we'll have to deliver will be dependent upon whether they want to do limited theatrical or straight to DVD or, you know, download sites. I mean, they all request different things. Every deal is different. You know, my only real experience with cutting distribution deals has been, you know, with Dirty Girl because, you know, my short film, it actually sold. We played at the Tampere Film Festival in Finland, and they have a great market there. So it got picked up by a Canadian distributor, and I'm trying to remember. I think we just had to deliver a couple of finals, you know, some art ideas and, you know, the promotional type things like synopses and things like this. So, but I think for a feature, I mean, I think there will be probably substantially more that needs to be delivered upon an agreement being made.
Right. Okay. Why don't we give out your website so that people can find out more about the film?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, we have, okay, well, my company website is genkev, genkev.com.
Okay.
And it has information about The Silent Thief and all our upcoming projects. It's crazy. There's always new information on there. Then the actual film website is thesilentthiefmovie.com.
Okay.
And then my personal website is jenniferclary.com.
Okay, great. And also, besides filmmaking, just real quick, I'm going to mention, you also have another company called Gobble Green. Tell me about that.
I do. Gobble Green, yes. Gobble Green is my other passion. I have two passions, I think, right at this moment in my life. It's filmmaking and it's veganism. And vegan food is something that I'm really striving to make more mainstream. I think people sort of look at it as like a niche, you know, like, oh, I'm going to go vegan on Mondays or something. It's actually not that complicated to go vegan, and our company really strives to make it easy for people all over the U.S. to have nice, healthy vegan meals delivered right to their doorstep. So Gobble Green is a company that provides, you know, prepackaged meals that contain no animal products or byproducts. And if you're interested in that type of thing, I highly recommend checking out our website. It's gobblegreen.com, and you can also visit us on Facebook. We have a very active and lively Facebook community for Gobble Green, where I post hilarious animal photos as well as important news about health and animal rescue initiatives. So please do check us out.
Okay. Before we go, is there any advice that you'd like to give to new directors starting out?
Yeah, sure. I mean, my advice is to keep on trucking, you know? I mean, the thing about filmmaking is that there's nothing said about it, you know? You can't just go to, like, law school and you come out and you know if you work hard you're going to be a lawyer, you know? It's not a traditional trajectory. You know, if someone had told me, you know, when I was in high school that I'd be running a boot company and running around with a camera for my living, I probably would have, like, had a panic attack, you know. It's just it's not the kind of thing that you want to hear, but it's exciting and it's thrilling, and I think if you care about it enough and you just keep trying, eventually you hit something that really resonates with you and is productive, and I love it. I can't imagine doing anything else in my life at this point, so.
Well, great. Well, we wish you the best of luck, and thank you for being on the show, and I will probably hear more about your endeavors and then maybe bring you back on.
Absolutely, Rachel. Thank you so much for having me, and thanks everyone for listening.
All right. You're welcome. Thanks.
All right.
Bye.
Have a good one. Bye.
Okay, bye-bye. Okay, well, that was Jennifer Clary, and if you missed any of this show, you can go back and listen to it in its entirety. We covered a lot of different things in today's show, some really good information that she provided. Next week, I am not going to have a show, although I may have a bonus show. You never know. There could be a show sometime during the week, but I will be out of town. So I will be on a plane at the same time that my show normally is. So it would be fairly difficult for me to do a show at 1 o'clock next Sunday. But I may have a show in the interim, so keep an eye out here on Blog Talk Radio and see if you see an upcoming show coming up. Of course, I will be back with more shows in the next coming weeks, and you never know who I'll be interviewing next, so you just want to keep an eye out. Also, in the meantime, you could check out my other show, which I have. It's basically only in archives right now. It's called Basics of the Biz, and if you go here to Blog Talk Radio and you type in Basics of the Biz, you can listen to that show, and I have a lot of different segments there where I talk about different aspects of the industry, headshots, resumes, acting classes, unions, you name it, I cover in that show. And that's more about my own personal opinion based on my book that I wrote called Basics of the Biz also, which is available on Amazon.com. And that book is basically for the newbie actor that's just getting started in the industry. Okay, also check out my website, Independent Streak, S-T-R-E-A-K, .ning.com. It's kind of a weird name. But on that site, I have a lot of information about upcoming events, reviews. I have information on festivals, all kinds of things, not only in South Florida, but also in other areas as well. So you want to check that out. And as always, listen here to Blog Talk Radio, to the archives, because I've interviewed a lot of different directors, writers, special effects people, et cetera, et cetera. And if you're interested in being on my show, you can also email me at ravenprods@yahoo.com. That's R-A-V-E-N-P-R-O-D-S, like productions, @yahoo.com. And I will look at your information and get back to you and see if it's a possibility to be on the show, okay? But I thank you all for tuning in. And just like I said, keep checking back because I'm not sure when my next show will be, but I will be back to the regular Sunday format as soon as I can, possibly the following week, although I'm filming on the set, so there's a possibility I won't be here the following Sunday, but I will let you guys know. But thank you so much, and I will talk to you soon. Thanks, guys. Bye-bye.